And here's the reason why. I want you to get familiar with your Bible and which way to turn it and where your chapters are and verses, and be skillful in the Word. God wants us skillful in His Word. I want to talk to you today about faith that is courageous. Faith that is courageous. Now, I usually use a lapel mic, and because we're having some trouble with our CDs back there, we want to make sure it's not in the mic. So I'm using a handheld, so bear with me today as I try this, because I'm not used to doing this. I'm used to flapping my hands every which way. Today we're going to talk about faith that is courageous. I want to read you this, verse 27. It says, "By faith, he," talking about Moses, "forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned," or tried to do and were drowned. I'm going to talk about what courageous faith is today. I want you to understand today that God is looking for people with courageous faith this morning. God is looking for people that won't compromise in their faith walk with Him. And there comes a time that in each and every one of our lives that we need a faith that is courageous and uncompromising in this world that we're living in. I'm telling you today that the world is trying to mold you and the world is trying to shape you, and the enemy is pulling on you continuously. He's trying to take you away from the things of God. He's trying to get you to compromise at every turn. And if we don't know what the compromises are, then sometimes we'll be sucked right into those compromises and we'll be compromising and not even know it. And God does not want us to live a life of compromise. Look what it says. It says in Hebrews, it says, Moses forsook Egypt. Now, Moses had it made in Egypt. Moses forsook Egypt and rather went after the things of God rather than the things of the world. It's a type and a shadow of the world that we're living in. And that's today what I'm pulling out of some scriptures here in Exodus, where the Egyptians or Pharaoh was trying to keep the children of Israel in bondage. And he was asking them to compromise as Moses was trying to get them free. God wants every one of us in here this morning to be free. Say that with me, free. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." But I want to tell you this morning, we don't have to live a life of compromise, and we certainly don't have to live a life of fear. And the enemy wants to keep us bound by fear, and fear of serving God with our whole heart, and fear of letting go and letting God, fear of not obeying God and receiving the blessings of God, fear of letting go of the old life so that we can embrace the new life. In 2 Timothy 1:17, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then in Romans 8:15, it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba," or "Abba, Father." You don't have to stay in bondage. The Bible says you have not received the spirit of bondage. God is a spirit of liberty, a spirit of freedom, and the devil wants to keep us in bondage. And see, how does the devil keep us in bondage? He keeps us in bondage by causing us or persuading us, if you will, to compromise. Getting quiet. Our lives should be free from fears that keep us from serving God and reaching. Say reaching. Reaching our fullest potential. Did you know every person in here has potential in God? Some of us will never reach that potential, unfortunately. Some of us really don't even know that we have potential. But we all have potential. Some people can't see beyond their present circumstances to see what God has for them. Did you know the book of Jeremiah says, "I know my plans for you. I have plans to prosper you and to cause blessings in your life and to give you a future." God has great plans for each believer. But if we're not sold out to God, will never reach those plans. You'll never reach them. The Word of God says Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the king's wrath, because he saw the invisible God through faith. Moses turned his back on the things of the world and walked away from them without any fear or remorse. I'll give you one further than that. Abraham turned his back on the things that his past without fear. And he said he sought a country that God had promised him. And I'm telling you today, we all have a country and we all have a promise from God. But we have to be willing to walk away from the old in order to embrace the new. In order to fully experience God's presence and His purpose for our lives and our church, we got to turn our back on the things of the world. The things that are contrary to the things of God and the Word of God and the will of God. And we can't fear what others think about us or say about us. We need to respect what God thinks about us. That's what matters. You know, all of the people that you ran with when you were in sin, when they see you serving God, they pull away from you. Why? Because light has no fellowship with darkness. And it's not necessarily that they hate you. They just don't understand you. They don't know why somebody could be sold out to God, because they're still living in fear and they're still living in bondage. But when we're free from bondage and we're free from sin, we don't have to live that way. And even though people don't understand us, we got to be willing to let go of that past in order to embrace the future. And the promises of God are ahead of us. They're never behind us, and they're waiting for us. When Moses told the king that God said, "Let my people go," the king tried to get Moses to compromise his commitment to God and to his word. And this is the way he does you and I today. He tries to get us to compromise at every turn. And I want to share with you four compromises that are common in the lives of believers today. But it is also the compromises that Pharaoh tried to get Moses to compromise. And these are the same ones the enemy uses against us today. And it's in this walk of faith. The first compromise is this: don't leave the land. In Exodus 8, 25 through 28, and Pharaoh called to Moses, called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." In the land. And Moses said, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do." Let me read that right. "It is not meet for you to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us." And the Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to your Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." In other words, work with me. Listen to this. The first one, he says, don't leave the land. Stay in Egypt. And that has spiritual significance to us. In other words, be religious, but don't leave the old life. Even go to church if you like, but keep a little bit of the old life still there. Don't let go of the old life. Let me still have a place in your life. Play church if you will, but don't be real. Don't leave the old life behind. Pray, sing. Just don't stop sinning. Go through the routines, the rituals, but please, whatever you do, don't be real. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. This is God speaking. Say, this is God speaking. I want you to understand this morning, God has better plans for us than to be bound by sin the rest of our lives. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." God's saying, come out from the land that you was in. Egypt was a type and a shadow of a land of bondage. And God was trying to deliver his people out of bondage. But we got to want to be out of bondage. Listen to me very carefully. God's saying, I want you out of Egypt. And I want you to go into a new land that I promised you. And I want you to live for me in that land and serve me in that land. But the enemy's saying, don't leave the land. Don't leave the old life. Don't be willing to let go of things you know that are hindering you from reaching your full potential. In Hebrews it says, laying aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Listen to me, folks, in this Christian walk, there's going to be a time that we have to come to the point in our life where we say, I want God more than I want things that are hindering me. As your pastor, I want to tell you, every step of the way of my walk of faith, there's been challenges that God has challenged me with. And it's still to this day, I still come up against things, attitudes and different things that God says, you know, you're going to have to deal with this. That's part of the old life. And you got to lay the old life down. You can't embrace the new life if you don't lay the old life down. We can't live in the old man and walk in the new man all at the same time. It doesn't work. Just like oil and wine don't mix together. When you shake them up, they're together. But as soon as you stop shaking them, they begin to separate again. The spirit and the flesh, the Bible says they are at war, enmity against one another. Means they're enemies of each other. They're constantly fighting against one another. One to have the control of the other. And God's saying that we need to not compromise in this area. When God starts laying those things out before us, we need to say yes, Lord, and no to the enemy. It's saying, don't leave the land. Today, Satan would like to entice us to stay in the world and continue to do the things that we used to do, but yet call ourselves Christians. Listen to me. I know there's the growing process. Every one of us have to go through it. But I'm telling you, God wants us to continue to grow. He never wants us to stop growing. And when we come to a point in our life, and every one of us are at a point in our life, you may be at a different point than I am in my life right now, but God is asking you to go a little bit further with Him and to let go of something that's hindering you. Daryl, you work construction and build houses. And you sometimes have to tote some heavy lumber to build what you're building. And when you're carrying that lumber, does it slow you down? I remember as a teenager, I worked as a laborer helping build houses on the weekends. My job was to tote the lumber. I didn't get to nail very much because I was slow. Those guys, like Daryl, can hit it with two strokes and knock it all the way down. Well, I did tap, 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 tap. Well, they'd lose money on a guy like me. But I remember having to tote plywood up a hill. And a wind be blowing and that thing be trying to blow you down. And they're roofing it and they're hollering at you, hurry up, hurry up. It was a hindrance to carry that extra weight. I'm telling you, when we allow sin in our life to continue, it hinders you from being all that you can be. But not only that, from receiving all that you can receive. God wants to get blessings to you. He could not bless the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. They were in bondage in the land of Egypt. They were not walking in the blessings of God in the land of Egypt. So as long as we want to stay in the land of Egypt, we can't be blessed by God. When we never fully yield to God, and what that means is that does not mean we're perfect, but that means that as God begins to reveal to us things in our life that we need to let go of, things in our life that we need to deal with, we need to deal with them and let them go. Because see, the enemy always wants to have an attachment to us. He was saying, go ahead, worship your God, go through the motion, but don't leave the land. The second compromise is this. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 28, he said, don't go very far. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me or work with me. Well, if you're going to be saved, but just don't get too serious about God and don't become a fanatic. You want me to tell you what a fanatic is? Is somebody that loves God just a little bit more than you do. That's what we call a fanatic. Somebody that's willing to go a little further with God than we are. We think, man, they're extreme. He's saying, don't go very far. You ever heard this people say about Christians? Man, they're fanatics. They've just went crazy over God. They've become Jesus people. I mean, he's going to church twice a week now. Can you believe that? He quit drinking. He's carrying a Bible to work now. I remember years ago when I got saved, and man, I was messed up. I mean, messed up. And I remember carrying a pocket Bible with me to work every day. And I can remember every break time I got, I had that thing open. Even when I went to the bathroom and I'd be in the bathroom, I'd flip that thing open and people would see me reading that. And I could see them talking about me behind my back. Oh, man, look at him. He's seen the light. He's went too far. That boy's a Jesus freak. Look at him. But I tell you what, today I guarantee you that God is taking me a lot further than some of those men has ever dared to go. And it's all because I said, I want God and I'm not ashamed. Don't go too far. Oh, don't go to church more than once a week, once a month, because if you do, you're liable to get something, praise God. Listen to me. Pharaoh was saying, don't be a fanatic. You can go out, you can sacrifice, but don't go too far. I still want to have a little bit of control over you. Listen to me carefully, and I'm not saying this to be mean to anybody. I have to preach the uncompromised word of God, because if we don't hear the truth is what sets us free. You know, I had to face truth. Do you know the Bible says in the book of James, it says, looking into the perfect law of liberty. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, it says it's like a mirror, and we see ourselves, and then we see the word of God, and we see that we're not like the word of God. It said, but when we intently stare into the word of God, or that mirror, it says, the more we look into it, the more we become like it, the more it conforms us, and it shapes us, and it molds us, and it makes us more into the image of Christ. And that's God's whole goal in this thing, is to make us more like Jesus. So we don't take it as condemnation. We take it as God's trying to change us. God's trying to mold us. God's trying to shape us and make us into something that is precious and something fit for the master's use. Hallelujah. Walk with God, but don't get too close. Don't go very far. Don't go to extremes. Don't dare read your Bible. Because if you do, that's liable to change you. Obey the truth, but never get involved in working for the Lord. Satan's, one of his tactics is, this is one of the things he'll say to you, don't go very much. Don't grow very much. Because if you grow very much, you'll begin to understand how he works and you'll be able to avoid him or overcome him. And see, he knows that. Did you know, there's certain people that have certain attitudes, and how many knows what a manipulating person is? It means that they know how to push the right buttons. They know how to push the right buttons to make you react a certain way. That's what manipulation is. Husbands and wives are notorious for using manipulation in their relationship. They won't admit to it, but it happens. It happens. And see, the enemy knows how to manipulate. And he'll use certain things in your life to manipulate you, trigger things in you. And that's why it's important that we know the truth. And that's why he'll say, don't go very far, because he knows if we start to understand the truth and know the truth, that we'll begin to see his game and we'll be able to avoid him. I know in my own life, there's been certain times that people will use certain tactics on me to get their way. And I fall for them for a couple of times. And then after I begin to wise up, say wise up. God's just asking us to wise up. We begin to wise up. We begin to see patterns. Say patterns. We begin to see patterns. And you see, when God begins to show you patterns, how the enemy works, then you'll be able to avoid or overcome, or just don't go there. Huh? Wives know how to push the right buttons on their husband, because when they want to pick a fight, they know how to pick a fight, and they'll push the right. And listen to me, wives, it's not because it's Father's Day. I'm being nice to the fathers. Fathers, men, husbands know how to do the same thing. And they know how to say certain things. My wife will tell you, and I don't think nothing about it, but she does. I can get a, just say a word in a tone of voice, and it triggers something in her. Or roll your eyes. Or ignore. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it just triggers something in them. And then next thing you know, it's not a good time for the next 2, 3, 4 days or hours or whatever. Some of you, it's months, praise God. Y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I'm going over here where it ain't so funny. And see, the enemy knows that if he can just get us, if he can just keep us from going too far, then he knows that he can keep pushing the right buttons in our life and he can keep us in bondage. But I want to tell you today, God wants you free. He wants you to go all the way. He wants you to leave the land of Egypt, because the land of Egypt speaks of bondage. It speaks of lack. It speaks of a hard taskmaster. Listen, he didn't even give them enough hay and enough clay to make the brick total. He don't care. He's a hard taskmaster. Why do we want to stay in Egypt? We shouldn't want to stay in Egypt, because that's where the enemy is, and that's where he wants to keep you in bondage and keep you under. Don't go too far. I see this in church, you know. People think, well, you know, if you preach this kind of message anymore, it's not popular. We want people to be happy when they come to church. We want people to, listen to me. You can't be happy if you're in bondage. Bondage is not a place of happiness. We need people to know the truth, because the Bible says it's the truth that sets us free. So that's the second one. He's going to say, don't go too far. You know, serve God, but don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Don't get involved in church. This is one thing. Never teach others. Never grow enough that you can teach others. I was just reading in Hebrews this morning. It says, by now you ought to be teachers teaching others, but yet I'm still having to feed you with milk. This is Paul talking to the church, the first church that we all said was so spiritual. He said, because every time I tried to feed you meat, you choke on it. And he said, you're unskillful in the word and in righteousness when you're not growing in the Lord and growing up. I heard one preacher say this. There's one thing that Christians are very consistent at. Say that with me. Consistent at. And that's being inconsistent. If we could turn that to something positive, man, we'd be a powerhouse for ourselves and for God. We need to answer this compromise, don't go too far, with a resounding no. I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm not going to stop. And then the third compromise is, don't allow your religion to influence your family. Don't allow your religion to influence your family. Look at Exodus chapter 10, verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds, we will go. For we must hold a feast unto our Lord, unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be with you as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for it is evil before you. In other words, leave your kids here. We need to have real men in the church today. Men that'll stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Men and fathers that's not ashamed of the gospel. Men and fathers that'll say, me and my house, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen to me very carefully, fathers, men, and this even applies to mothers. But if we're not willing to sell out to God with our whole heart, why would you think your children would? Did you know our children watch us? You know our commitment to the Lord. If they never see us crack our Bible and read, and during the hard and difficult times, we get down on our knees before God and we just say, oh God, I need you today. And without you, I can't solve this mystery and this problem, Lord. If we don't humble ourselves and do that in front of our families, and we don't see church as important and don't come regular because, you know, I just don't feel like it this morning. Did you know in the New Testament where Jesus had the wedding feast, he invited all these different folks to church or to the wedding feast? It's a type and a shadow of what we're talking about today. And he invited, and every one of them had an excuse. They were all legitimate excuses. I gotta go tend to my cattle. I just bought some land I need to go check on. I'm this. And you know what Jesus said? He said, go to the highways and the byways and get those that want to come in. And those that's got an excuse, he said, they'll be cast into utter darkness and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen to me very carefully this morning. If we as adults, as parents and leaders in our household, in our families, don't see God as significant and important enough to serve him, to pray to him, to read our Bibles, how on earth do we think our kids are going to value that? We are one, I heard a preacher say, we are one generation away from losing the church. Say, how can that be? Well, if the next generation don't take the baton, there is no next day church. And if we, the current generation of the church, don't see that it's necessary to serve God with our whole hearts and be faithful to the very end and to live this life like it's important, then our next generation is going to say, well, they didn't think too much of it. Why should I? I remember David Crank telling this story years ago before he passed on. He said, years ago when my dad, we used to go to church, my dad said we'd have our family come over. And it'd always be on a Sunday. And he said, at 6 o'clock, how many remembers Wild Kingdom? And A Wonderful World of Disney. He says, I never got to watch those. He said, because at 6 o'clock, we was going to church. And he said, when family would come over, he said, we didn't miss church. And he said, we would invite them. My dad wouldn't. And said, if they didn't want to go, he said, well, just stay here. And when we're done, we'll be back. Come on now. Church was important. Today, he's enjoying that mansion. He's enjoying that mansion because church was important. He said, man, all the kids would be talking about Wild Kingdom and what Disney. And next day said, I never got to see any of it. But hey, there's much more. Some things are more important than the wonderful world of Disney and the Wild Kingdom. Oh, I pray God that he gets down in our heart and he gives us a real backbone. Because God's looking for men that have a backbone. Fathers that'll serve God before their wives and their kids and show that God matters in their lives. If we don't do it with our whole heart faithfully, our families will see it. And if we're half-heartedly serving God, will your kids notice? Yes, they will. Will they serve God with any different attitude than we serve them? No. Not at all. Nehemiah 4:14 said this. And I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know if you're spiritually aware of this or not, but the devil's trying to steal a generation. Those two young boys you brought this morning, the devil wants to take their future away from them. That's why Nehemiah said in 4:14, he said, and I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them, talking about the enemy. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. I want you to know today, listen to me very carefully, and I think sometimes we're lulled asleep just like Samson was, and all the spiritual power was zapped out of Samson, taken away from him, and all the purposes of God was ruined in his life because he was lulled asleep by the enemy. And I'm telling you today, if we don't wake up, the enemy's going to steal, kill, and destroy. And we don't even see it happening until it's too late. It was too late for it. And Samson ended up blind. And I believe that's the case with a lot today. Listen to me. He said, fight for your sons and your daughters. It's up to you to fight for your sons and your daughters. It's up to you to fight for your wives. Men, it's up to you to take the spiritual headship of your home and say, we're going to do what's right in the sight of God no matter what. Hallelujah. It's the truth. It's a fight. See, we don't see that it is a fight. There's a spiritual battle waging, and it's waging right in your life. And if you're not aware of it, listen to me. The enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying, and he's taking from you and taking from you and take. He'll take your dignity. He'll take your pride. He'll take your money. He'll take your health. He'll take everything that God is trying to give you, and then you'll be left busted, broken. And God's saying, don't let him fight the good fight of faith. You better fight for your families. And you are an influence in your families. And I want you to know Christianity is a family religion that involves a personal relationship to God on every level. The last compromise is, don't give God your possessions. Look at Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. And finally, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Pharaoh was saying, "Let me have control of your possessions so you can't trust God with them." Pharaoh was saying, "Let me have control of your possessions so you can't trust God with him." It's in this that many of us fail to honor God with our tithes and offering. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not being critical. What I'm telling you, say this with me. Nothing times nothing equals. Y'all knew it. Why? We know that. We know that. The devil's saying, if I can't get you in all these other areas, let me get you in this area. And it is, don't trust God with your finances, because if you trust God, if I can keep you bound in one area, I've got you bound in all areas. I want to tell you, there's been times in my life when it was hard to give to God, where my bills looked like they were insurmountable, and I had them all laid out right here, and then I had my Bible laid out right here, and I looked at my bills, and then I looked at my Bible, and I looked at my bills, and I said, "Well, God, you're in heaven, you're a million miles away, and my bills are right here, and they're calling." And then I had to look, and I had to say, "Oh, God, what am I going to do here?" And God said, "Trust me. Trust me. Trust me." But the enemy wants you to, he'll let you even leave the land, but he don't want you to leave the land with any possessions. But God wants you to leave loaded with possessions. Listen to this, Malachi 3:8. Malachi 3:8, which is the last book in the Old Testament before you get into the New Testament or into the Gospels. And look what God says here. God's asking this question. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Listen to this. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." I want to stop right there, and I circled this in my Bible. This whole nation. Do you wonder why we're in the economic distress that we're in right now? Huh? We can't rob God and come out looking like a rose. Come on now. I know this is not popular. I know this hurts. But you know what? If we don't give to God and we don't give him, listen to me. He owns all the cattle and all the gold on all the hill. And the Bible says it is he that gives you power to get wealth. It is he that really owns. Cause if you look at the parable of the talent of the 1, 5, and the 10, or the 1, 2, and the 5, those were given to the people by God. We don't own anything. We're just giving back to God a percentage. And he says, you can either have 90% that it is blessed, or you can have 90%, or you can have 100% that's cursed. Well, I found out the 90% that's blessed is a whole lot better off. Look what he says. "Bring all the tithe in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." Look at here. God, in all other places, God tells us to rebuke the devourer. But when it comes to our trust with our finances, it's where we trust him that he rebukes him for us. And your fruit shall not be destroyed on the ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before its time, saith the Lord of hosts. These are four areas that the devil is trying to get us to compromise. One, don't be sold out to God. Just keep a little sin in your life. A little sin won't hurt anything. I got news for you. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Huh? Have you ate a sandwich with a piece of meat on it that just had a bad piece on it? Right dead in the center? Did you think it was the whole thing was good? No. Get me another one, Jack. Huh? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We got to be sold out to God. The other thing he told him, he says, don't go very far. You can't go too far with God. I dare to say that none of us has gone near far enough with God. That's our problem. The third thing is, he says, don't take your children with you. In other words, don't show your children that God is important in your life. Don't live it in front of them like wholeheartedly, because if they see that, they're liable to want to do that too. Did you know why children do what they do? Because they watch their parents. We say, you ever heard them say, "You're just like your daddy"? Well, there's a reason, because they watch their daddy all their life. And then the last thing is, he says, don't honor God. You can go. I'm going to let you go, but you ain't going with your possessions. Leave your possessions here. And God's saying, he wants all of us. He wants all of us. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you today that we're uncompromising people, that we're going to go all the way with you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this group that's here today. God, I thank you that this word gets buried down in our heart. And Lord, that when we have that moment, that valley of decision, that fork in the road where the enemy tries to whisper the sweet little things in our ears to compromise, we say, oh no, I'm going to go all the way with God. I want everything that God has for me in this life and in the life to come. I want to be a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God that brings glory to his name. I want to experience all the benefits of being a child of God that is sold out to God. I want to be anointed with the joy of gladness. Hallelujah. Before we close, I want to invite anybody that needs prayer to make your way to the front. I'd love to pray for you today. God's in the house and he's in the business of touching our lives. Hallelujah. Anybody at all?